I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Nina. I am a student at MC Smith, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate. Bookish things.
And we're usually here with our friends, AJ and Mashuda and Fahim, but they're not here today. It is a holiday when we're recording. We're recording on Memorial Day, which usually is a day when people have off from work and school and maybe go to a parade or a service. And today, I don't know what kind of service happened locally because of the social distancing protocols in place. Did you all get the day off from your online schooling?
Yeah.
Was that nice?
Yeah, it is nice.
Nice to take a break from the computer. Although now we're back on the computer to record this radio show. Ah, well. So yeah, let's talk about some books or bookish things. How about Amelia? You could start us off.
I've started reading the last manga in a series I like called Black Butler. I read them really slow because it takes a really long time for new issues to come out and I don't want to read them quick and then be stuck waiting for a very long time. So I've started reading that. I don't know enough to tell you what it's about because it's like the 20-something issue and anything I could talk about would in fact be a spoiler at this point, but I can assure anyone that it's really good and I would highly recommend it at the very least.
Do you think you'd be able to tell us kind of like the style of it or the mood
is all over the place as many mangas are, but for the most part the mood is pretty mysterious. It deals with murder mystery and all that. It takes place in Victorian England, so it's like historical fiction, but it's also a manga and has a lot of fantasy stuff in it because there's demons and stuff like that. It's pretty wild. I love it.
Does it have like a set number of main characters, or is it?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I could. There's so many. There are so many characters. I genuinely don't know if I could. I feel like it's something you just have to read, and then you just have to decide who you consider the main characters because it changes from like arc to arc, from storyline to storyline. It changes, so who you consider the main characters will change from like story to story. So you can't really like set a certain amount of people as the main characters because it's so fluctuating.
Do you have a favorite character?
Yes. it's a spoiler.
Okay.
It's difficult when you're this far into a story that you literally cannot talk about it without spoiling something. And I really don't want to do that with this story because it is so good. Yeah. And I would love for people to read it. I can't even say who my favorite character is.
What age group do you think it's for?
At the beginning, it definitely would like be fitting for early teens. But in the later issues, it gets like more mature. So it's almost like it ages with the reader. Because when I first started reading this, I was like in my early teens. I think I was 13 or 14. But now I am 18. Yeah, I know my age. But now I'm 18 and reading it. And I still don't think it's any... It's almost like it's matured with me. At the beginning, it's very simple murder mystery. But later, it gets into more disturbing content. So, like, I feel like if you start at the beginning and read it through, it would almost be like it, like, matures with the reader, which is a rare thing to find. So I think it's kind of cool.
Can you compare it to any other manga series that you've liked? Like, if somebody liked this other manga series, they might like that one.
I think if you're, like, a fan of, like, the aesthetic of Victorian England, you would love it just for the imagery. The art is very beautiful. It's gorgeous. So I think if you're a fan of like things set in Victorian England, you would enjoy this, whether it be a novel or other manga. If you're a fan of like stories involving demons and fantasy and stuff like that, you would enjoy that. half of what drew me to this story was the aesthetic, was the way the illustrations looked and the way Victorian England was, like, shown. There's also this interesting thing that in the first issues, they have a lot of, like, gorgeous illustrations of specifically food, especially desserts. And some fans of this, I found, have actually put so much effort into recreating these desserts in real life and making recipes for them, which I think is kind of incredible.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's, like, a lot of commitment to be that much of a fan to go and, like, make food from the story. Because a lot of these recipes are really difficult.
That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't read that one, but I know it's really popular and has been, I forget when they started publishing, but I feel like it's been around a really long time.
It has. I can look up when the first one came out if you want, because the one I have, the newest one is going to be coming out in August of 2020. The last one I had came out in like December of 2019. Mm. So
it seems like it maybe a couple a year.
So it obviously like comes out earlier in Japan than it does in the US. But according to this thing I just looked up, it was the very, very first manga, the very first issue was published on February 27th, 2007. So it has been going on for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, it means there's a lot to read, unless you're caught up. That gives you something to look forward to.
Just like me. Yeah.
Yay. I should check that one out sometime. I haven't read much manga, but I know that you love it, and I know that Lena loves it as well. Yeah, right, Lena?
Good. Yeah.
What kind of manga do you read, Lena?
Ruby manga.
Oh, yeah.
That's one that I have a complete series of. I remember starting one a while ago. I only got the first manga. I never got to get the other.
Have you been reading anything interesting lately, Lena?
No, not really.
Not really? What have you been up to in your spare time?
I don't know. Well, I do know. So I remembered how Amelia had like a project where it was like turn fairy tales into like something that they were never were.
Yeah.
And she chose Cinderella. And I was like, "Ooh, I hope I get this project." Because I really like the Alice in Wonderland one. I hope that counts as a fairy tale. And so I was kind of like recreating it in my mind because I don't like writing. I only like drawing and reading. And so the only thing that I came up with was that the Mad Hatter, instead of like only showing up in one scene in the original, like the Mad Hatter became friends with Alice in Wonderland, and Alice found out that the Mad Hatter was like the long lost princess of like the Queen of Hearts. That's the only thing that I could come up with.
That's fun. It's interesting thinking about what qualifies as a fairy tale.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, well, like, I don't know how you can be qualified as a princess to Disney because, like,
oh my gosh. No, that's like a legit thing, though. Disney has very specific requirements for which of, like, their female main characters can be qualified as a princess. And there's, like, a specific list, and I don't think it includes, like, major characters like Anna and Moana and... There's, like, an official list, and, like, some huge names in, like, Disney princess culture are, like, left out. There's, like, an official list of princesses Disney considers to be official Disney princesses. They have, like, a ceremony in the parks and everything. They have a literal coronation ceremony, and it's so strange.
Do you know who my favorite Disney princess is?
Who? There's 13.
Dumbo's mom.
Wait. She is dumb. Yes.
I think she should be coronated and become a Disney princess.
So there are 13 official Disney princesses.
There are 13.
How, even though Walt Disney made like millions over the year, well, actually, he didn't make them. He just turned twisted stories into other things.
Walt Disney was wild. He was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with fairy tales, you often think of the classic, like, the Grimm Brothers stories and Hans Christian Andersen. So sort of like these tales that were told over time and collected. But then I don't know if it's just with Disney getting in the mix, but things like Peter Pan, which isn't like a classic fairy tale, often gets considered to be a fairy tale, both because there's fairies in it, but also because it's a Disney, or it's been made into a Disney story. And so, yeah, it's interesting to think about what would qualify as a fairy tale. Like, does it just have to have a feel of a fairy tale? Does it have to have fairies or magic in it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
but you can decide what you want.
I'm pretty surprised that they only have 13 official Disney princesses. And, like, my thoughts were, like, every single princess was, like, an official princess. And I was like, okay, to become a Disney princess, I need to become one of those princesses who were held hostage. Yep, I was held hostage when quarantine began.
Except that's not it. Like, I found the official list. I found it. So it is in no specific order. This isn't in chronological order. It's Ariel, Belle, Rapunzel, Cinderella, Tiana, Snow White, Aurora, Mulan, Pocahontas, Merida, Jasmine, Elsa, and Anna. And Elsa isn't even technically a princess. She's a queen, but she gets on that official list. But Moana doesn't for some reason. And that kind of bothers me. Neither does Giselle, and she's from my favorite, like, Disney princess movie.
Wait, who's Giselle?
She's from a movie called Enchanted, and I think...
The, like, live-action one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was cute.
It was so cute. It, like, goes from an animated universe in the beginning into a live-action universe halfway through in New York City, where the princess ends up falling in love with a man who lives in New York City in the real world, and a girl ends up falling in love with the prince from the animated world, and it's just, it's so cute. It's so cute. I love this story. I used to have this script memorized. I watched it so much. And Giselle was played by Amy Adams.
Oh. Yeah, that was really fun.
It was so good. I love this movie so much. I should watch it again.
I can't remember if it actually came out yet, but I'm interested in seeing the Mulan live action film.
Oh, my dad's really interested in that.
It looked pretty good. And I know I saw the animated version back in the day, but I don't remember it at all. So I feel like I'd be going in totally fresh because I don't remember the plot at all.
I remember the animated one. I love Mulan. I loved it a lot.
So my sister informed me that apparently they're making a Moana 2.
That's unfortunate.
You didn't like the first one?
I liked the first one. I loved Moana. I just think it's unfortunate that they're making a sequel because the sequels tend to be worse.
Yeah.
I feel like Moana ended good. It ended fine. I thought Toy Story 4 was a cash grab, and I think Moana 2 would also be a cash grab. And I thought Frozen 2 was a cash grab as well. But whatever. At least they're not making more live-action versions of their stories. Because they're all bad. They're all bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't think I've seen any of them.
Is Beauty and the Beast. And that's because I'm obsessed with Beauty and the Beast. I'm obsessed with anything Beauty and the Beast related. But any other live-action movie that they've made is just bad. I went to see Aladdin as the live-action movie, and it was terrible, and I don't think I'm going to see any more.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any of them. I saw Enchanted, though.
Enchanted is the only good one. Only good live-action Disney fairy tale is Enchanted, and it's because it's not a remake, and it's good.
Were you saying something, Lena?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, personally, I didn't like how Frozen 2 ended up because they decided to throw in that, like, Anna doesn't have, like, the powers of fire, which I am totally against because
I really wanted Anna to have powers in Frozen 2.
Yeah.
I desperately wanted Anna to have powers in Frozen 2. I wanted it so desperately. But they said no. And I was like, fine. Then I'm not going to see the movie. Because that was the only thing that I was invested in, if Anna would also have powers.
Yeah.
Which she didn't.
Yeah, and I was like,
like, when I came in the movie theaters, I was like, okay, suckers, I know what's going on. She has powers too. Ha! You thought you could fool me? And then the movie industry came out with, like, ha, sucker, you didn't get what it's you wanted.
Awful. I was so upset.
Money.
But it is funny how you define fairy tales, because, like, I would consider, like, because you always think about Disney movies, but there are, like, tons of things that aren't Disney movies, too, that I would consider fairy tales, because I don't know, have any of you ever heard of Secret of the Kells? And this kind of ties back into a book, so we're still keeping with our theme.
Well, I know of the book, and I know there's an animated movie.
I didn't even know there was a book. I knew that there was the movie, and I'm obsessed with this movie. I love this movie. It's animated so uniquely, and it's gorgeous and beautiful and amazing.
And I meant the Book of Kells, not the secret, not yes, a book of the movie.
is about the creation of the Book of Kells, which is a real book. Yeah. It's preserved in Ireland somewhere. I want to see it. I desperately want to see it because I think it's considered so important because it has incredibly detailed illustrations that, like, back then probably would have taken years upon years to finish and make, back when it was actually made and illustrated. And this movie is about the Book of Kells being illustrated and made, and I don't know how much of it is real. I just know it looks pretty, but it's about that, and it's gorgeous. There's gorgeous animation. It's so unique, and I love it. But I would consider that a fairy tale because it goes into all that stuff. It's about this boy whose father is the abbot of Kells, this little town. No, his uncle is the abbot of Kells. And he's building a wall around his town to keep out Vikings because Vikings have been pillaging, like, areas around here. And he thinks the only way to keep his town safe is to keep everyone inside. The boy ends up sneaking out and meets this girl who lives in the woods, who is implied to be some kind of mystical thing. It's never really said what she is, but she has the power to transform into different animals. She's lived a very long time. It's cleared up that she's been alive longer than most of the people in Kells. And he ends up meeting this girl and making this book, and it's wild. It's wild. I love this story.
The animation was really pretty.
The animation is gorgeous and unique.
Yeah.
But I don't know what studio actually made it.
Looks like it was a French company.
Oh. Huh.
Or somewhere, French, Belgium.
Maybe.
Something like that. Anyways. So I read a book that was pretty fun called The Deep and Dark Blue by Nikki Smith. Ooh. And it's a graphic novel. I don't know if it is going to be a series or not. I didn't look that up. It definitely has a solid ending. But I think my one critique of it is that it could have had a little bit more world building. And so part of me hopes there's more books because then it can develop the world a bit more. And I liked the characters, so it'd be fun to revisit them. But it's about two siblings named Hawk and Grayson, who at the start of the book, there's a coup going on in their home and they have to flee for their lives because a member of the family is trying to take control and is attempting to kill off the offspring of the recently deceased current leader so that their side of the family can take control. And so these two brothers run off and they go into hiding with a group called the Communion of the Blue, which is an order of magical women who spin the threads of reality to their will. It's very beautiful colors throughout. With the spinning of the blue, they're kind of like, it's like spinning wool, except it's not wool that they're spinning. It's the threads of reality. But it visually looks like they're spinning this magical spindles of blue. And as they're hiding with this Communion of Blue, which is an order of magical women, they have to disguise themselves as young women. And so they end up being trained in different positions with this order of women. And they go by the names of Hannah and Grace. And it's sort of about the brothers' survival in this new place and learning about this new place and finding their place there and figuring out who they are. And then there's also some more drama and adventure with regards to the coup that happened when that comes to the communion at one point. They have to try to make right with what happened. And this isn't a spoiler at all, although I kind of wish it were. But if anyone reads this book and they read the cover, they're going to know that one of the brothers, Grayson, who now goes by Grace, decides that they want to live as a girl. So that's part of the story. And I feel like it's in like the jacket cover of the book, so it's not a surprise. But I think it almost would have been stronger going into it not knowing that.
Yeah, that's strange that they.
Oh, I apologize for saying it, but it's it's on the book.
That they decided to like put that in the like previous legend description. Mm-hmm. That could have been like a strong plot point if they had put it in the book differently.
Yeah, and it starts off. It's not like totally clear while you're reading it that that's going to happen. You kind of figure that out partway through. I mean, you know it because you read the book cover, but. It's not as obvious in the way that it's told. And so I kind of wonder if it was considered a selling point for the book, that people would be more interested in reading it, knowing that it had that aspect to it and drawn to it. But it was a very lovely book. It's very pretty. It's got lots of beautiful colors. You know, I love a good full color graphic novel. So, but yeah, I'm curious if they'll have more in this world. But that was The Deep and Dark Blue by Nikki Smith.
Cool.
All right.
And it's a graphic novel, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ah. Ooh. It looks pretty.
Yeah. And so before we wrap up for the day, I also wanted to let our listeners know about an audiobook program that happens every year, or has been for a while at least, called Sync. Or audiobook sync, it's sometimes referred to as, but it's Sync, S-Y-N-C, and it's a free summer audiobook program for teens 13 and up. And so every week throughout the summer, going until July 29th, so for the next couple months, and it started in April, they release 2 audiobooks per week. And they're usually thematically connected in some way. And they're a mix of books that are written for teens and then some books that are written for adults but that are teen friendly. And you can get them for free. And it's this year it's through an app called Sora, which is S-O-R-A, which is a reading app from Overdrive that's geared towards young readers. And so you can get the app for free from whatever app store you use on your phone, from Apple or Google. And then you can either sign up with your school or there's a way to sign up through Audiobook Sync as well. And you can get that code from their website, which is Audiobook Sync. Again, S-Y-N-C for Sync, audiobooksync.com. And I end up participating in this program every summer and reading a handful of books that are always really good. So far this summer, I've read one, or it's not summer yet, but they start the audiobooks in late April or early May every year. And so I have a handful of them that are in my reading queue. And then I finished one a couple weeks ago that I'll talk about on another show. But yeah, so check it out. Audiobook Sync. AudiobookSync.com. See if you find some books you might be interested in, especially if you like audiobooks like me. But yeah, that's about all the time we have for today. But we hope everyone has a good week and reads lots of good books.
Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Luzbela, Carpio, Guaino, King Koya. Luzbela, Carpio, Aiva.